which the Lord hath made known unto us.
So today we're going to look at the passage where the angel spoke to the shepherds. We started out a few weeks ago hearing the message of the prophet Isaiah. It was a message of hope to a people who needed hope. Not just hope in their day, not just deliverance from a wicked king of Assyria, but hope for eternity, hope for the battle with an enemy far more powerful, hope with the battle of sin and death, hope over the grave. And that would be represented by the coming of a child. And then a few weeks ago, we looked at Mary's song, which most people assume that she sung when Jesus was born. She didn't. She sung that even before John the Baptist was born. And then last week, we looked at Zechariah's song, message, prophecy, if you prefer those terms. It's set off in verses. I don't care if you want to think of it as a poem. Somebody's using their mouth, but they're praising God. And in that prophecy, Zechariah talked not so much about what his son would do, although he did end up on that discussion. He talked about the next child that would be born in this significant situation. And, of course, referencing Jesus. As to the actual birth, the moment the birth occurs, we know nothing. I think it's fair to assume that was probably like any other human birth. There was a whole lot of things going on there that I just assume know nothing about anyway. I mean, I have some memories etched in my mind that I'm trying to still forget by witnessing those kinds of things. But the baby comes, and the very next thing you have is an angel shows up. But he doesn't show up to Mary or Joseph. He doesn't show up to Zechariah or Elizabeth. He doesn't show up to Isaiah or one of the prophets. He shows up to some blue-collar fellas. Some workaday, bottom-line guys. This is not all that unusual. I mean, you have guys that were kind of in on this deal, like Isaiah in the Old Testament, and Isaiah's a prophet and from a priestly family. You have guys in the New Testament like Zechariah, who is fulfilling his duty at the temple. He's part of the priestly family. But you also have a whole lot of folks that didn't rate on the socioeconomic scale. I mean, clearly Mary and Joseph are poor folks, as we'll see next week. But the announcement doesn't go to King Herod. It doesn't go to Rome. It doesn't go to the emperor. The announcement on the night of Jesus' birth goes to shepherds. Now, in our mind, that's a little idyllic. I mean, David was a shepherd, right? Shepherds. Kind of like some kind of quasi-superhero. Like they had their own special cape. I'm a shepherd. Not like that at all. I don't know what our closest equivalent would be, but these aren't popular guys. They're a little bit socially challenged. They got a nighttime job for a reason. They're probably a little unkempt, maybe a little hygienically challenged, might need a bath or a shower. What's the term that they used in our culture? Not on deplorables. These guys are deplorables. That's what they are. They're like the bottom rung of the social ladder. That's who the angel shows up to. And Luke is just kind of matter-of-fact about this. You know, just down the road from Bethlehem, there were some shepherds tending their flocks at night, and that's where the angel shows up. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. I don't know if you caught it in some of the songs we sung this morning, but some folks missed the message about Jesus. You know, our news media, I'm just talking about just the news programs, have a ton to say about the holiday season. They talk about it all the time. 98.7% of the time, they don't mention God, Jesus, angels, birth. You know what they do mention? Shopping, the weather, traveling, family gatherings. I do very much agree with Bryant and others here who know that Christmas is a great time of year to talk about Jesus because people will listen, but let's be honest, that only goes so far. Because the overwhelming picture we get from our culture about Christmas doesn't include this at all. We certainly don't have glory in excelsis Deo going on around here. At the most, for the most part, if the news media references anything out of the Bible, it might be the star, possibly the wise men. That one occasionally makes it. But there's no glory to God in the highest. If they use the word Emmanuel, it's clear they don't know what it means. Which is God with us. So let's go back to these shepherds. They're just in the neighborhood. And the angel pops up and starts talking to them. Let's see if I can make this work. There we go. And Bible's clear, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Usually you see this depicted as the angel being bright. I'm not saying he was or wasn't. I'm saying the verse is talking about that the angel shows up and there was just light everywhere. It doesn't say that it's coming from the angel. It was daytime at nighttime. Only way brighter than the day normally is. This is the glory of God surrounding these shepherds. So already they're a little caught off guard. They've never seen that before. I don't suspect they'd ever seen an angel before either, but they do seem to know who it is or at least what it is. And God's message of good news and great joy is delivered to folks at the bottom of the pyramid. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Don't ignore that last phrase. This is available to all people, which is why it also has to be delivered to shepherds, not just prophets. Not just young women and old men. All people. So, the angel goes on. The Messiah's been born today. You're going to go see it. I want you to go to Bethlehem. Don't worry, you'll have no trouble finding him. And when you find him, he's going to be lying in a manger, not a cradle. And he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, that's a little bit unusual. I mean, I like this point because I have, every winter so far, I have talked about a small gift strangely wrapped at somewhere in these sermons. I just love this imagery. And you say, Phil, what is so odd about finding a baby in a baby blanket? Okay, I get it. Except for the term here is not that. The term here is a term these shepherds would have been familiar with. It was the same kind of garment that they wrapped a perfect baby lamb in because it was eligibly sold for sacrifice. So when a lamb was born without defect, that lamb would receive extra special care from the shepherds because they knew that that lamb would be needed for the sacrifice, and it would bring, I mean, I hate to say it, it's going to bring big money. I don't think that was their motivation to protect it. Their motivation to protect it was its own purity. It was beautiful for its own sort. And so they basically protected that lamb, and they wrapped it up in this. You're going to go see a baby not wrapped up as a baby. You're going to go find a baby wrapped up as a little lamb. That's what they're being told. And I think Jesus is strangely wrapped from all these sermons. Isaiah wrapped him up in prophecy and history. Zechariah wraps him up in hope and promise. Mary wraps him up in praise. And to the shepherds, he's wrapped up in this little garment. A little bit of mystery going on in this wrapping, don't you think? Anybody here a fan of the year 1965? I'm the only one. Okay. Well, I'm good. I got a convert. That was the year I was born. Great year. Not here to talk about my birth, though. Here to talk about his birth. However, there is a carryover. 1965 is the year that the Peanuts Christmas first came out. You might not know the backstory on this. A guy named Lee Mendelson was the producer for Charles Schulz, his agent, basically. And he walked into Schulz's office on December 19th and said, "Great news!" And Schulz goes, "Yeah, what's that?" He said, "I just sold CBS the rights to a Charlie Brown Christmas." And Schulz goes, "We don't have a Christmas show." And Mendelsohn goes, "You got 4 days to write me one because I've already sold it." And that became a Charlie Brown Christmas. One of the most beloved TV shows about Christmas. Now, it is unique. We talked earlier about 98% of the TV coverage on Christmas won't mention Jesus at all. Charlie Brown Christmas is quite the opposite. In fact, the mic drop moment comes at the end when Charlie Brown, in exasperation, says, "Doesn't anybody understand what Christmas is all about?" And Linus goes, "I understand, Charlie Brown." And he quotes this passage. In fact, this is what he says. "And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, tending their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You will find this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men upon whom his favor rests.'" And with that, Linus stops talking, and that's the thought you're left with as they sing a Christmas carol. There are parts of our culture that still do understand that what God says about Jesus, what the Father says about the Son is important. And Charles Schulz understood it enough to make sure it got on primetime TV. But that message first came to these men here. And it's a message about who God is. Glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. For those of you that still speak Latin. I can say it in Greek, but it doesn't have the same ring to it. Let's see if I can quote it from Greek. doxa and theos, I know it's that much of it. I don't remember what the word here for highest is. I want you to understand, guys, that primarily this is a message about who the Father is. The Father is a giver, and He deserves all glory and praise. And He is willing to give you peace. Peace on earth to folks who have goodwill. My best understanding of that Greek phrase. You'll see it translated 100 different ways because people don't want to take a stand on it. Peace to those people who are willing to accept it. Because most of the time, the peace that's brought up here, we have, you know, an adult Christmas list. Why are there still wars? Why is there still divorce if Jesus really came? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, let me tell you why. Because we don't have any goodwill and we're not willing to receive the peace Jesus has given us. That's why. Because in a world where Jesus reigns, you would not have war, you would not have family strife, you would not have disease and death if you let Jesus reign there. Now, I'm not submitting that we don't. I'm submitting that Jesus doesn't yet fully reign. And when He does, all those things are going to go away. But I'm going to go a step further and say that's not even what the angels are promising you. The angels are promising you that the same God that deserves the glory is the God you can have peace with if you'll let Jesus provide it. This isn't about having peace with other people. This is about making peace with your Creator. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. Sadly, there will always be family strife and trouble at work and hard nights of getting ready for the next exam at school, whatever it is, you're going to have a lot of unpeacefulness going on around here. But you can still have peace with God if you want it, because that's what Jesus came to provide for you. And that will be a peace that passes all understanding. Jesus came to offer me peace with God. That's what these angels are telling us. So the shepherds go. They're told to go, and in verse 15 they do go. And in verses 16 through 20, they find exactly what they were told they would find. I'll let you read that for yourselves, but I want to notice a few things here as we roll through these verses. In verse 16, we're told they go with haste. They ain't slacking around. They believe what the angel has said, and they want to see it for themselves, and they are there, buddy. And they saw exactly what they were told they would see. And they told everybody what they were told. Joseph and Mary, you will never guess what just happened to us. Mary's probably like, yeah, oh, I get it. I had the same visit a few months back. But the entire crowd that was there watching that baby found their message marvelous, is what the text tells you. Awesome. They were convincing. They believed. And there wasn't any shutting these deplorables up. And they went on their way and glorified God, because they knew that even shepherds could be offered the peace which passes understanding. Look, friends, tragedy has and will come to us. And at Christmas, that can be hard to reconcile. How come we have to bury somebody as noble as Charles Barker on Christmas? That just doesn't seem right to us. But the change announced by this angel was not concerning that our lives would be perfect, but that we have a Savior. And in the midst of whatever chaos and hardship we face, we can be at peace with our Creator because of that Savior. But here's the sad, sad thing. A lot of people wish they had that, but they won't display the goodwill that it takes to receive it. And our culture just wants us to shut up about it. And we'll find 50 new ways to shut up about it. But there's no stopping the fact that the angel's message is still true and that our great Father has come and sent his Son to us and become one of us so that we could have peace with him. And that's a message worth sharing. The shepherds thought so. During this season, this world, our world, would be a better place if those folks who have heard the message concerning Jesus Christ would go and retell it. And they would share the story of the birth of Jesus, but also his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that he's coming again, because the story did get larger after this moment in time. But every day of our lives, we should be talking about the arrival of the Prince who brought us peace and joy and hope and salvation. And if the world's able to shut us up, God will raise up stones from somewhere. He'll find some new shepherds. I guarantee you that. But there's no other plan B than the church. The shepherds were resolved. How resolved are you? I guess we'll find out. If you have a need, why don't you come us together, we stand and sing.